no more world. There will be no more. No more bleeding. And no more pain. Going home to me.
Continue in our study of the book of Luke. We're still in chapter 9. And we're going to look at verses 28 through 36. Luke chapter 9, 28 through 36. Title of this message, I'll give it to you now. Let's see if you can feel into it as we read the scripture. Are you listening to Jesus?
Amen.
Are you listening to Jesus? Amen. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awakened, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Are you listening to Jesus? Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you on this morning. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us ears to hear, to understand what the gospel message is saying. Father God, we ask right now that you would just touch hearts, minds, and souls today. Give us, Father God, the desire to want to hear Jesus. And not only want to hear him, but want to live like Jesus. Father, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening to Jesus? There's a lot of voices out there. Oh, there's mega pastors in every large metropolitan city. There's mega pastors in Dallas and Cleveland and Texas and Atlanta. And they have something to say. Then we have the Elijah Muhammad, and we have the Pope, we have the Mormons, we have the Jehovah Witnesses, we have a plurality of folks with something to say. We have the grand worshipful master. We have entertainers, actors, athletes, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Pastor Oprah. All having something to say. All having something to say. But our text today says that there's only one person we need to listen to. We've been studying on Wednesday night, and again, if you're not coming, you're really missing a great study, because James says, if any man lacks wisdom,
yes.
If any man is in a situation where they just don't have enough resources to deal with, young and old, young people are in situations. I don't know. I know I'm doing wrong. I don't know how to get out of it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you in over your head.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just can't go to your daddy and say, Daddy, I'm in trouble. Oh, mommy, I'm in trouble. But if you lack in wisdom, the word of God says, let a man, let a woman, let a child
ask
to God. You may be a grandmother or a mother or father here with some issues.
Yes.
I can't deal with this on my own. Let them ask of God. What our text is saying here. We're dealing with circumstances and health issues and different things, and we're going here and there and chasing down doctors and psychiatrists and healings and cleansings and all types of medication. We need to ask of God.
Amen.
We need to ask of God. Some of our pains and suffering just because we just didn't know. Some of us suffering with something there ain't no cure for.
Amen.
just need to get ready. Therefore, not catch any of us by surprise. No one should have said, "Well, I'm just shocked that he passed away, or she passed away." The Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die. You got an appointment that the doctor can't prevent.
Amen.
Let's look at our text, verse 28. Those that are here for the first or second time, we just try to go right down the text. We want to preach the Bible. I don't have nothing to say.
Amen.
Y'all don't want to hear about me and Ray eating all weekend and all that. I don't have nothing to say. I can't hang with Ray though. Sylvia's diet. I started Sylvia's diet and I've gained 5 pounds. I don't have a whole lot to say, but this word has a lot to say. It has a lot to say today. Look at verse 28. And it came to pass. That's a familiar wording for Jesus Christ. Okay? What Jesus Christ is saying here, it came to pass. I mean, the circumstances that have happened have come to fruition. And it's time to examine what we've been going through. Sometimes we just have to look at our circumstances. The things that we've been involved in, things that have challenged us, things that have got us maybe in some trouble, things that have been worked well for us. And we need to take an inventory. And a little personal examination. And this is what Jesus said. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. What sayings? Look at verse 22. You see the word saying. Starts off sayings. These sayings. Jesus had, again, remember we go back to chapter 8, he healed the demoniac, he fed the 5,000, which may have been 15,000 to 20,000with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, he dealt with a lot of things, trying to show these apostles who he was.
Amen.
And that's the only reason for miracles. The only reason that Jesus and the apostles did miracles was to authenticate that they were truly men sent from God. Okay? What the locals are doing today is something different. Thank God for the prayers. I'm not one who don't believe in miracles. I mean, pray for my sister-in-law who thought she was going in for a double mastectomy. And do prayer and her faith. And it turned out she had 3 small lymph nodes removed.
Amen.
She went from major breast surgery to outpatient surgery. She was home 3 hours after the surgery. God is still performing miracles. But like Job said, skin for skin, a man sells his own soul. These preachers know that. They can take all your money and then they say, "Yo, you didn't have enough faith to get healed." I did my part. You just don't have enough faith, but I'm going to keep your $2,000. Wow. You're right, sister. Wow. And it came to pass about 8 days after these saying, what saying? The Son of Man, verse 22, must suffer these things. And be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised on the third day. Mm-hmm. Apostles didn't like that. Mm-hmm. They had a different plan for Jesus. See, sometimes we have a different plan for Jesus. Look at Matthew 16, and this is the same text, the same story being told by Matthew, who is a little more descriptive of what was happening. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Okay. Matthew 16, 21. It says, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show his apostles how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, the apostles had different plans for the Lord. They wanted him to come into an earthly kingdom where he would overthrow all of Jerusalem, and that the Jewish people would be in power. That wasn't God's plan. And here's Peter. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." What's going on here? What is going on here? Peter actually, the word says he took him. He grabbed the Lord. He put his hands on the Lord and began to rebuke him. But he turned, verse 23, the Lord, and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of man." You know, there's a good lesson in that story. Men and women, understand that Satan will use anyone he can. All you have to do is let your guard down and make yourself available, and Satan will use you. And the closer you are to Jesus, the more attractive you are to the devil. Okay? If you think you're going to come to church and praise the Lord and worship the Lord and preach God's word and teach God's word, you Sunday school teachers and deacons and ministers of music and singers, if you think you're going to sing praises to the Lord, Satan will come after you. You're on his radar. That's why I thank God for the prayers of the saints. Because I know I'm a marked man. And if you hear and you love the Lord, you're a marked man. Or you're a marked woman. And Satan will do anything to keep you out of the worship service. He'll do anything to keep you out of the fellowship with the saints. He'll do anything to keep you from praying, from coming to the prayer meetings and the Bible study. He'll do anything he can. I don't know what excuse y'all going to have when I get this van. I'm going to come get you. Come get you, Shirley. Let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 9. Listen. "And he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray." Matthew and Mark's rendering of this scripture says they went up into a high mountain. But the key is they went into this mountain. Okay? They went into a mountain. Now, somebody said, "Well, why just John, James, and Peter?" Okay? Now that's a good question.
Yes.
Okay? People sometimes say, you can't get close. I've heard preachers give me that advice. They say, you can't get real close to the people. You will get closer to folks that love the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I know preachers that are closer to the worst members of the church than they are the best members.
All right.
Yep. I know that's to be true.
Right.
But if the members that you have are faithful and loyal, they love the Lord, they love to pray, they love the Bible study, you will get close to them. And within that, if there's 15 to do that, then there's still always going to be two or three that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little soccer team. I'll use a soccer illustration. You got a soccer team. I don't know how many people on a soccer team, but I'm just going to guess there's 20. That coach going to look around.
Mm-hmm.
And he may find three captains.
Yeah.
You better believe them captains are going to be the best. They're going to be the most faithful ones. They're going to be the most dedicated ones. They're going to be the most committed ones. They're going to be the best citizens when they're not at soccer practice. They're going to be faithful ones. They're going to be the ones that's up on time for the team meetings. They're going to be the ones that come into camp in the best condition. They're going to be the ones that work hard at training and at practice. That's how you become a captain.
All right.
A bad coach will pick the three slouches. And you have a bad team. But Deuteronomy 19 and 15 says something else. There was another reason they had to have three. It says, at the mouth of three witnesses, a matter is established. See, in the Old Testament under the law, nothing could be established if you didn't have three witnesses. You couldn't just bring an accusation against a leader or an elder without two or three witnesses in the New Testament, according to 1 Timothy 5:19. It says, bring not an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses. So if Deacon Oliver or Deacon Napier was doing something crazy, one person can't come to me and say anything. You need two or three witnesses to establish that matter. Then the Word of God says, be careful how you even talk to an elder. Okay? I would say rebuke not an elder. So we had to even myself, being a younger man, I had to be careful even in how I even come against an elder. That's just what the Word of God says. So you see James and Peter and John with the Lord. And again, they were most likely with the Lord because they had a more outstanding faith. It's a lesson in that. Who would the Lord choose among our crowd here? Who in here has outstanding faith and love for Jesus Christ? And see, we wonder why our prayers don't always get answered. And the Word of God said, effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We got churches on every city. Every time one of these young boys get killed, there's a church within walking distance where they find the body. And when a church comes into a community, that community ought to prosper. And we look at some of the communities where the churches are at and the areas depreciating.
Mm-hmm.
That ought not be so. A church ought to make the area better. It ought to make the area better. And as he prayed, is it now we're moving down in verse 29. Is it as he prayed? It said, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. There's a lesson in that for us too. You ought to know what somebody's been praying. Somebody who's faithful in prayer ought to have a different look to them. You just can't come off your knees in prayer and have a long face.
Amen.
And have a sad face. You know what I mean? Go back to James. The book of James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're going to sit here and say, I've been praying, and you arrive at your job angry and upset. There's a song a lady that sings. Her name is Lillian Lilly. I don't know if that is. She sings a song called Prayer Changes Things.
Yeah.
Prayer changes things. It changes the way you look. It changed the way Jesus looked. He prayed, and Jesus was a man of prayer. Throughout the Bible, he was a man of prayer. And Jesus was a man of prayer, and he was without sin. How should our prayer life be? We ought to be raising our hands at prayer service. Let me pray. Let me pray. We ought to just want to pray. We ought to work hard at prayer. Praying is hard work. People say, well, you'll know them by their fruits. One of the fruits of a saved, sanctified soul is a strong and stable and consistent prayer life. Prayer changes things. It changed Jesus. It changed the fashion of his countenance. It was altered.
Amen.
The other text say his face became as white as the sun. Bright as glory. And his raiment was white and glycerin. Glycerin. Do you know what? Prayer changed the way you. Prayer changed the way you dress. It'll change the way you carry yourself. It'll change the way you present yourself to a dying world. That ought to be some of the things that we ought to pray about.
Uh-huh.
We ought to pray to be better.
Amen.
Better Christians.
Amen.
We ought to desire to be better Christians, better students, better employees, better mothers, better fathers, better sons and daughters and granddaughters, better grandmothers and grandfathers. That ought to be a part of our prayer life.
Yeah.
Being better husbands and better wives.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. When it all comes down, we ought to want to be better. And Jesus was praying, and his face and it was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, this is interesting here, verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men. Now, I know some of y'all don't believe, you know, that you're going to be recognized in heaven. I know that's a popular teaching, you know, you're going to be a spirit and we're not going to know each other. But I don't know what this is saying. I'm just reading it for what it's worth. I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to recognize Dave, and I'm going to recognize Deacon Oliver, and I'm going to recognize Dave over here, and I'm going to recognize Kenny. Assuming all y'all get there. Listen what it says, though. He says, and behold, pay attention to this. When you see the word behold, that means Jesus is saying, this is important. Don't miss this. Their talk with him, two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah. Okay? Now, both of them brothers, they had some mysterious deaths. I'll give you that. Elijah was what? Caught up in a chariot. And Moses, we don't even know where his body was at. Satan's still looking forward. And some folks say, he didn't get to the promised land. He didn't get to Canaan. Well, he got to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? He got to heaven because how do I know? Say, preacher, how do you know he got to heaven? Because the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Here he says right here, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. Now, who was Moses when he was Moses on the earth?
Yeah.
And he's Moses in heaven. Elijah was Elijah when he walked to earth.
Yeah.
And he's Elijah in heaven.
Yeah.
Now, verse 31. Claire laughing. This is why the word of God must be preached. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I am determined to preach the gospel. It is important that we preach Christ and him crucified. If you go on to a different church and the pastor ain't preaching the crucifixion every Sunday, I'm like, how are you preaching every Sunday? It should preach every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, his blood, his death on Calvary, his resurrection, that should be part of every message. Why? Because that's all they're talking about in heaven. That's what they're talking about in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't not talking about the economy in heaven.
Right.
They're not talking about who won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not talking about that in heaven. Here's Elijah and Moses, and they're talking with the Lord.
Yeah.
And what are they talking about? And it says in verse 31, and they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. That word deceased is a soft word that means his death. His exodus. His leaving here. His dying on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. That's what they were talking about in heaven. That's what Moses and Elijah lived for. They pointed all the prophets, all the law pointed to a Savior that was going to die for the sins of the world. There would have to be no more sacrifices, no more pigeons dying, and no more bulls being sacrificed, no more sheep and all that stuff. That's what they were talking about. That's what they were talking about. Look, where was he going to accomplish that? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, that's the conversation of heaven. Now imagine what Elijah and Moses could have said. They could have talked about a lot of things. If it was us, we'd be talking about, you know what, what's so-and-so doing, or what's so-and-so doing, and, you know, how my grandmother doing, or how my nieces and great-grandchildren doing. Listen, Moses and Elijah wanted to talk about what Jesus came to do. It was the greatest event ever known to man. Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising from the dead. There is no greater event in the history of this world.
Amen.
And no more, no less important event. This is the most important and the most reverent event that ever happened. Now Peter. Oh Peter. But Peter and they that were with him. Fascinating Peter. We like to get on Peter. They were heavy with sleep. That was often when Jesus prayed, they fell asleep. Remember, they were at the Garden of Gethsemane and they fell asleep.
Yes.
And Jesus rebuked them and said, couldn't you not stay awoke 1 hour? And they were heavy with sleep. You know what? That's a picture of us. That's a picture of us. Sleep.
Amen.
That's a picture of us before we were saved. Just sleep. Look at Ephesians. I know. I'll hop around. Hang in there with us. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to keep going. Catch me when you get there. Sleep. And this is us. Prior to God waking us up. Some of us still sleep. Still haven't seen God's glory. And you come to church. And I'm not talking about being physically asleep. You can be wide awake. Okay? I know there's some of us on medications and different things, and we will get drowsy and doze off. But I'm not talking about that type of sleep. I'm talking about spiritual sleep. Okay? Okay? I understand sugar levels and different things. I understand that. So I've done my share of dozing off. What it says in Ephesians chapter 2. This is fascinating. And you have he quickened.
Alright.
Quicken means woke up. Shake you a little bit. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's a picture of a lost soul.
Amen.
Sleep.
Yeah.
The word of God going across. Jesus is praying. Sleep. In church, don't care about the things of God at all. Means nothing to me. Revelation, Jesus said, listen, I'd rather you be hot or cold.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather you be hot or cold. Look at verse number 2 of Ephesians chapter 2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of the world. That's us. That's every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all got disobedient children. You got disobedient children. I got disobedient children. You know why? Because they're not under the power of God. They're under the power of darkness.
Amen.
And we can shake them ourselves. And we can drag them to church. And we can buy them Bibles. And we can put fish on their cars when they go to college. And we can do all that. But God has to shake them up.
Amen.
God has to shake them up. And he's able.
Yes, he is.
among whom we also had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Know what that's saying? Some of us in here?
Yes.
God has quickened us?
Yes.
Don't look at other folks. It's only by grace you've been saved.
Yes.
We had no right to condemn nobody else. God has lifted us up out of the muck in the mire.
Yes.
See, some folks get saved, look down on folks.
Amen.
See, there's a time I came to church and didn't want to hear nothing either.
All right.
Sleep all the way through it and couldn't wait till the preacher stopped spitting and sweating. But glory be to God.
But God,
verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, what kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? When somebody loved you when you dead in sins, that's a God's love. He hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. And this is what else he done. He raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, I could keep on reading. That's a great text.
Amen.
It ought to be, your page ought to just be highlighted all up in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go back. I'm going to get through this. And for Peter. But Peter. Gotta love Peter. Gotta love Peter. Heavy asleep. Wakes up. Could you imagine? And when they were awake, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. Now imagine they're in a dark cave. Jesus is praying. They didn't fall asleep. And they woke up and saw his glory. Imagine waking up and seeing the glory of God.
Yeah.
And some of us who was lost in sin and dead in our trespasses and sin, and when we woke up, we seen his glory. And you know what his glory did?
Yeah.
It revealed to us how wretched we were.
Yeah.
When we seen his glory.
Uh-huh.
When we look at ourselves compared to his glory. And we say, God, I need you.
Yes.
And we can thank God that he's so rich in mercy.
Yeah.
Listen. Not only did Peter see his glory, he seen the two men that stood with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass. He came in on the tail end of the conversation.
Yeah.
He woke up on the tail end. God supernaturally had him sleep. He wasn't supposed to hear it. He couldn't have held everything.
Yeah.
And it came to pass as they departed. Moses and Elijah going back to heaven, going back to glory. Peter said unto Jesus, Master. Ain't nothing wrong with this request now. Ain't nothing wrong with this request, because once you're in the presence of God, you just don't want to leave it.
Amen.
Now, I mean, some folks just really in it. When you're really in the presence of God, you just don't want to leave it. I know some Wednesday nights when the presence of God is in the worship service, and we just don't want to leave. Now some folks, they got to go because the game coming on, and you know, they got a movie they taping or whatever. And y'all say, oh, that preacher doesn't long. I just love being in the presence of God, in the presence of God's people. It just comes with the whole salvation experience. This is what it means when you say, well, you're known by their fruit.
Yes, sir.
Folks that say they love the Lord love the Word of God. They love being around God's people. They love being where prayer is being offered up.
Yeah.
I don't believe in a salvation that don't believe in and don't desire to want to be in the house of God. That don't want to be where prayer is being offered up. Don't want to fellowship with other believers. I just don't believe in that kind of salvation. I just don't believe the Bible teaches it. So Peter said, it is good for us to be here. And Peter didn't care nothing about it. He would have stayed in that mountain for the rest of his days.
Yes,
that's what the text is saying. He didn't care. He would have never went out of there. He said, let us make 3 tabernacles. In this cave, in this high mountain, nobody would have found us. He said one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Peter didn't know what he said.
All right.
Still in the presence of God. Now God had to come on the scene, and no man can see God and live. No man can see God and live. So God had to do something supernatural, and he brought about a cloud. And while he thus spoke, Peter, there came a cloud. Now how does cloud fit inside this cave? We get to ask God that by and by. It said, and a cloud came. There came a cloud, and it overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. That's just the Bible. They entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud. Saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. Is that the second time he told him that? Hear him. Listen. Moses done his job. Okay? Moses delivered the law. The prophets all prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. They were done. Okay? That's why folks still want to be prophets today. I'm a prophet. I'm a prophetess. I'm an apostle. Listen, all that work done. You got to hear them. Folks tell you I'm an apostle. I see, I told y'all a couple weeks ago about the guy saying he was an apostle in Detroit. If there was an apostle in Detroit, all them General Motors plants and Ford plants would be running. And the murder rate wouldn't be like it is. Because wherever a prophet or wherever an apostle went, he changed the whole city. He healed everybody. He cast out demons. He rose folks from the dead. And he had power and authority over everything. So wherever an apostle went, that city got better. Apostle on the south side. Help us, Lord. May have it. I'll never mind. I'll leave that alone. Apostle on the south side. I'm going to leave the apostle on the south side alone. Reverend John is going to be pulling on my robe. While he spake. Verse 34. One more time. There came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. Listen. Why do we need to hear him? 3 points and I'm going to be done. Why do we need to hear him? Number one. Because of our ignorance. I said our. Because the preachers need to hear him too. And I'm not saying it in a negative way. The word ignorance can be used in a positive way. It's not a negative word. You know, you're just ignorant. That is what he's saying. Because we don't know no better. That's why Luke 19:10 said the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and to save the lost. How, where were we lost at? We were lost in our ignorance to the things of God.
Amen.
See, then this is the problem we have throughout our community. This is why it's so important that the Word of God be preached. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And I'm not talking about somebody, you know, Dave told me if we got wireless mics now. He said, don't take the mic off and run all around the church. He said, if I got to turn around and find you, I can't hear you. We didn't get wireless mics for me to run around this church. Okay? Here's what he's saying. Listen. The pastor, the preacher's job is to explain the scriptures. Okay? There's not a whole lot of difference between teaching and preaching. Preaching is just done in a public forum. Teaching, we had, we teach on Wednesday and Sunday, we didn't ask questions. Everybody get a chance to chime in. When the preacher come out on Sunday morning, he's going to explain these scriptures. I hope you guys are understanding them. Because of our ignorance. Now we watch Hollywood, and we watch Hollywood do a funeral this weekend. It was very interesting from a preacher's perspective. And this one scripture comes to mind, and I'm not going to talk about Whitney. I'm talking about folks that was there.
Amen.
Hollywood's rendering of a memorial service. Look at Revelation chapter 3. This is a fascinating verse. This is why we need to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Look at Revelation chapter 3. First of all, let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3. Because it's important for the man of God or the woman of God to stay focused. He said, unto the angel of the church of Sardis. Now, we did a whole series on the seven churches. These things say he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. Thou hast a name that thou say, I'm saved. Saved in name only. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Now, I can't question the word of God, because in this King James Bible I have, this is in all red. This is the Lord speaking. Now, everybody in here saved. So you say. Listen with verse 2. Be watchful. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to the group of people you're hanging around with. Pay attention to your buddies. Pay attention to the places you go. Pay attention to the things that you enjoy. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Some of us ain't got a long time left on this earth.
Amen.
Okay? Strengthen the things that remain. If you're 50 come to the Lord, or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, you know, strengthen. Get stronger as you leave here.
Amen.
Let God find you strong when he come to get you. Because he's coming to get you.
Yes.
Don't worry about the supernatural healings and all that stuff. You, I don't care how many times you get healed, you leave it here. Okay? You can go see Benny Hinn 50 times. And he slay you in the spirit over and over and over. But one day, you leave it here. You have an appointment. Unlike the dentist appointment that I can cancel. Unlike the oil change appointment that I can cancel. This appointment you're not going to cancel. So strengthen that which remained. Just get stronger. And I'm talking about spiritually. Get into your word. Get you a good Bible study. Get you a good commentary. Get strong, so when God comes to get you, and he is, you'll be found strong. This is what he says. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before the Lord. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Listen, the Lord is not supposed to come home and get one of his saints like a thief. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes like a thief in the night. We ought not die unexpectedly.
Amen.
Don't put that in the paper. If I die, tomorrow, don't put it in the paper. He died unexpectedly. I hope that making sense. The child of God ain't dying unexpectedly. Satan's folk die unexpectedly. Look at verse number 17. Look at 15. I'm going to start at 15. Listen. This is why we need to hear him. He said, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hard. Revelation 3:15. I would thou were cold or hot. I would have used it was cold. I love cold folks. Because cold folks don't offend the Lord. Lukewarm Christians offend the Lord. See, one minute they say, the next minute they ain't saying it. And they living like fools, but they say it, they say it. Singing in the choir, they ushering, you know, they deacons, they pastors, and they living reckless lives in the name of the Lord. You allowed to find them anywhere. Look at verse 16. So then because thou art lukewarm. You might go to Dunkin' Donut and get a lukewarm cup of coffee and take a big old gulp. Spit it out. You know, run back in the store too because that's a $3 cup of coffee. See, listen, I want a hot cup. It's been sitting on the counter. Some of us been sitting on the counter. He said, I know thy work thou art either hot or cold. Cold or hot, I would thou were cold. That way, you don't even talk about me. Don't even mention my name. See, the cold person don't even mention God. Don't even mention my name. My name don't even associate with how you live. But the hot Christian, Jesus wants us hot. On fire. Where you going tonight? Going to choir rehearsal. Where you going that Bible study? Where you going that movie night? Where you go? Oh, I got church meeting. Usher board meeting. You at church all day? Yeah, I love it too. I love it. I'm church all day. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And people don't see that. They say, what kind of God you serve? You know, you're the God. Because a servant, you don't have no decision making authority. Here's for the Hollywood crowd. 17. Because thou sayest. Don't mean nothing. Don't listen to all that Hollywood stuff. These are actors. Hypocrites. That's what an actor is. You know what the definition of a hypocrite is? Actor. Play the part. And they can play any part. So when they do a funeral, they can play the part. You know, Hollywood funeral. Because thou sayest, I am rich. And some of us are doing real good here. And have an increase with goods. Start to sound like the rich fool, ain't it? And have need of nothing. That's the lifestyle of rich and famous.
Amen.
I'm rich, increase with goods, and have need of nothing, including you, God. I have no need for the things of God, the people of God, the prayers of God. This is what Jesus said about this person. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's an indictment. And that's coming from the Word of God. That's not this preacher being mean. You know, he's a mean preacher. No, that's just the Word of God. That's a warning. That's a loving message. That's as loving as God gets. So we think a loving message is talk about love all day. Oh, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You know, God loves you. we need to hear him. Secondly, we need to hear him because of our sin.
Amen.
We need to hear God because of our sin. Jesus said when he was talking to John, talking to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, slow down, Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You know, some folks don't even have a clue what it means to be born again. You can't be saved. You can't even go to heaven. You can't even make plans to go to heaven without being born again.
Amen.
Now, preacher, what do you mean to be born again? Must I enter my mother's womb a second time? No. You must receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Nobody touched on that word on Wednesday night. But Jesus Christ has to become your Lord. He must become your Savior. He must become the Lord of your life. He must dictate to you how you're going to live this life. And I know that's tough because we are Americans and we want to do our own thing. Born of the water and spirit, you're absolutely right. What's it look like? What's it look like to be born again? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Y'all know the scriptures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become what?
New.
There'll be some newness of life. You know, when you have a plant, you know, you have a plant in your yard and it dies, or it looks like it's dying and all the life is gone, and you start dunging it and fertilizing it, and next thing you see some life.
Yeah.
That's how the believer ought to be. There ought to be some signs of life. There ought to be some signs of life. Lastly, because of his glory. And I'm just moving. We ought to hear God because of his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat, drink, or do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do as believers, we ought to do to the glory of God. When we come in to sing, we ought to sing to the glory of God. When we come in to usher, we ought to usher to the glory of God. When we do our altar call of prayer, when we give, our giving ought to glorify God.
Amen.
Everything we do ought to glorify God.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you a... I like to mess with the choirs.
Yeah.
This is Psalm 138. I'm just going to give you... I got a bunch of them. I'm just going to give you one song for the choirs. For the choirs, just for the choirs. Satan worked hard in the choirs.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lucifer worked hard in the choirs.
Uh-huh.
He wants to shut our mouths. He don't want us to sing. But sing and mess with his ears. I believe sing and mess with Satan's ears. He don't like praising the Lord. Look at Psalm 138, verse 5. Can I read it all? Don't bother me and felt get up and leave. Y'all, you know, I'm just going to preach God's word.
Amen.
He said, I will praise thee with my whole heart.
Yes, sir.
Before the gods, little gods. That's what it says.
Yes.
That's a little G.
Yes.
Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee.
Yes.
Talk about idols. He's talking about little gods.
Yes.
I'm going to sing praise unto you, Lord.
Yes.
This is a Psalm of David. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple.
Uh-huh.
Okay? See, so when I see Hollywood, I say it all the time. You can't get salt water and fresh water at the same time. I got a real problem with folks want to sing Amazing Grace and then want to sing the other stuff. Okay? Okay? I'm just going to change the words and make it a gospel song. Something wrong with that.
Amen. Amen.
I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified the word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me.
Yes.
Oh, David was in trouble. David was on the run for years. He was a marked man. And listen what else he did. And strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee. Oh Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Oh choir, listen choir. Sing glory to the Lord. Sing him a new song. Sing him with a pure heart. Sing him with holiness and righteousness. Sing the scripture. Sing the word of God. So when folks hear it, they will praise the Lord, not you. Oh, when we sing, we ought to folks to praise the Lord. Listen to verse 5. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
There's something for you, choir.
Come on.
Sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. We ought to live to the glory of God. That's why we ought to hear God, because we ought to live to the glory of God. Listen, turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah seen the glory of the Lord. It changed him forever.
Yes,
come on now. Come on, Isaiah. Isaiah 6. I'm just gonna read 5 verses. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, and it changed him. See, we know when somebody's been saved. Somebody see the glory of the Lord, you are a changed man. You a changed woman. Life is never the same when you see the glory of the Lord. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. How he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. Everywhere you look, you see the glory of God. In the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, woe is me. This is the prophet of God. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Jump down to verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? This is a changed man, ready to do service. When God saves you, he saves you to do work. He saves you to serve him. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. That's us. Dead in our trespasses and sins. Listen, there's a story of Barabbas. We know the story of Barabbas. This thief, this murderer, insurrectionist, outcast, no good, waiting in his jail cell to be crucified. Knowing that the next steps that the soldiers would make toward his room would lead to him being taken to Calvary's cross. He was in his cell. He could hear the crowd yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, send Barabbas. He couldn't understand what they were saying, but he knew he was destined to die. As the soldiers came to his room, Barabbas fought his way into the corner, covered himself up, and the soldiers grabbed him and unloosened his shackles. Oh, Barabbas is us. They unloosened his shackles and they stood him up. And they said, Barabbas, you're free. They said, Chester, you're free. You've been free. You've been free.
Amen.
You've been free. And Barabbas knew he was a guilty sinner. The thief on the cross even said, we received the due justice for our sins. And Barabbas knew. And there he was, shaking like a leaf, still nervous. Until the amazement of the service, the soldiers, they let him go. They let him go. And he walked out of that prison cell. And he looked up on Golgotha's hill. And he looked up there and he says, that cross in the middle. That cross in the middle was mine. That cross in the middle was mine. And like Barabbas, we are free. We are free because of what Christ did. We are free because of what Christ did. We are not free because of anything we've done. We are only free because Christ died for our sins. And every time you see the crucifixion, every time you see a cross, some places they have three crosses, I've seen them in fields, remember that middle cross was for you. That middle cross was for me. And we ought to holler out, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on this earth, Father God, to seek and to save the lost like me. Thank you, Father God, for dying on the cross so that I could be born again. Thank you for not allowing me to die in my trespasses. Thank you for not allowing me to die in my sins. Thank you for quickening me and waking me up. Father, I pray right now. And if there's anybody in here, Father God, that is asleep, that is dead in their trespasses and sin, shake them, Father God. Quicken them. Grab them by the collar. Say, Lord, save my loved one. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for this church, Father God. Thank you for the patience you've given these people, Father God, to sit and listen to your long-winded servant. Thank you for giving us something to talk about. Thank you for the wonderful fellowship. Father God, we ask right now that if there's anyone here, Father God, that's lost today, that don't know you, that is just caught up, lacking wisdom, Father God, give that person, that individual, not the ability and the power to come forward in a worship service, but maybe even on their way home, maybe while they're in their bedroom, let them fall down to their knees and say, God, I need wisdom. I need power over the sin and the sickness that's in my body. I know I'm heading for hell. I know I'm in trouble. I am unconscious and I see the end of my ways and it is not pretty. Give that person, Father God, a touch. Give them a touch. Give them the desire to want to come out of that lifestyle, out of that bondage. Make them whole. Father God, we know you can do it because of just a touch. The woman with the issue of blood was healed. Father God, we have issues. All of us in here, we all have issues. For your word said there is none righteous. No, not one. Father God, watch over the saints of this church. Watch over the men and women that are in leadership. Watch over their families. Answer a prayer on this week. Let someone come in next Sunday and have a testimony of how God has came through. Return someone to the house of God. Give someone the strength to rededicate their life to the Lord. Yeah. give someone a desire to want to do better. I just want to be better. Give someone a service heart. Give someone strength to say no. When the urges and desires surround them, give someone strength to say no. Father God, continue to give sister the desire to just want to walk around this church and just hug everybody and kiss everybody. Let her spirit transfer to someone else. And she said, no one knows the day or the hour. This may be someone in here's last Sunday. We ought to love one another and do his work while it is the day, because night is coming and no man can work. Father God, we pray all these things today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The doors of the church.